Chapter 7. Infinitely spreading as solitude wraps around me. Lan Wangji hadn't left his side in all the days it took for Wei Wuxian to wake. The Lan family had no shortage of medical experts, and with his meticulously repaired kakuo, the rest of Wei Wuxian's injuries had mostly handled themselves, leaving the one-eyed ghoul sleeping under his blanket, tucked away in one of the more private buildings within the cloud recesses. Mother's rooms had always been better left undisturbed. Fatigue, Lan Xichen had warned him. Wei Wuxian was likely very hungry and thus trying to sleep off his energy depletion. He would have to eat sometime, but that was a matter none of them were particularly ready to address. Every now and then, the one-eyed ghoul would twist, face creasing, breath shifting, and Lan Wangji would reach out, taking his hand and pressing it up against his cheek, reassuring the other that he wasn't alone. He didn't know how much Wei Wuxian could understand in his sleep, but it always seemed to calm the other down, the strained movements ceasing, and his forehead relaxing. Every now and then, Lan Xichen would come in with a tray of food, softly suggesting he take a leave to shower or sleep in a bed, but knew his brother's stubbornness well enough not to push after the first few fervent rejections. "At least eat," he'd spoken on the first day of Wei Wuxian's sleep, hand catching Lan Wangji's shoulder. He'd hummed, non-committal, and his brother had left with a sigh. He seemed to do that a lot these days, the most often around him, and he felt a small vein of guilt at causing his already overworked brother so much more stress. He'd spoken of everything he and Wei Wuxian had done, secret no longer such, and his brother had indeed almost fainted upon hearing who they were up against. Thus passed 3 whole days, broken only by the few visits Lan Xichen managed on top of the absolute chaos the CCG had been dragged into, or by the arranged texts with the Jiang clan over the status of their adopted son. Those often ended with a brief live stream of the room to assure them that everything said was true, and a million more questions on top. On the third evening, Lan Wangji was just neatening up some of the mostly untouched trays, brushing a few wayward strands of hair back into place behind Wei Wuxian's ears, when Lan Xichen came in, slightly more grave than normal. "Brother," he greeted, frowning at the look on Lan Xichen's face. His elder brother came to sit beside him, staring, a trace blankly, at the one-eyed ghoul. "Uncle has closed meetings with the last of the ward-specific headquarters. He will be back sometime tomorrow." He spoke, clipped. "I have conferred with some of the doctors. He will need to eat something to properly recover. We should do it now, before Uncle returns."
"Yes."
Wangji's hand tightened around Wei Wuxian's wrist. Of course, they could just give him regular food, but he didn't know whether or not Wei Wuxian would be comfortable with his full nature being so casually revealed. What's more, it might even be pointless. He'd mentioned that human food had all the nutritional value of junk food, and what he needed was something that would help restore his RC cell production.
"Do we have anything stored for transplants?"
he asked instead. He had no idea how to find and or buy things from Wei Wuxian's chop shops. Killing was out of the question. Lan Xichen looked conflicted.
"Yes, but they're meant for emergencies. To save lives."
The knuckles around Wei Wuxian's hand went white.
"We promised to save his life."
Lan Xichen glanced between them, shoulders slumping.
"Yes, we did. I will be back shortly." The door slid shut behind him, and Lan Wangji returned his attention to his partner. He decided, with a bitter vengeance, that Wei Wuxian looked wrong like this. Wei Wuxian was always so energetic and sprightly, even when things were dire. Compared to that vibrancy, the way he now lay so still and quiet seemed almost a perversion of the one-eyed ghoul, an incomparable porcelain doll without breath. His brother's return disrupted that morbid spiral, and he glanced up, pausing at the sealed package he was bringing out.
"A heart?"
he asked, confused. Heart transplants were infamously difficult to preserve, and given that ghouls absolutely loved skewering them as an attack strategy, the CCG never had any to spare. His brother stared back calmly.
"The amount of RC cells that are processed and transported via the heart are nearly more than the rest of the human body combined. It is the least amount needed to satiate him."
Lan Wangji didn't need anything more, reaching for the package. His brother hesitated.
"I can do this bit. Wangji, maybe you want to take a shower?"
"I'm fine."
He frowned a bit. They could talk about this later. Lan Xichun looked an odd mix between worried and exasperated.
"It doesn't have to be long."
"If he wakes up, I want to be here,"
he replied simply.
"I will not allow Wei Ying to wake up alone in the cloud recesses."
His brother paused, a small flicker of guilty realization on his face.
"Of course. Just be careful."
He nodded, tried not to contemplate how morbid scooping out a human heart into a bowl was, merely extending it towards Wei Wuxian's face.
"Wei Ying,"
he murmured.
"Wake up. You should eat."
For a dreadful moment, the one-eyed ghoul showed no more change than he had for the past 3 days. Eyes closed, body motionless. Lan Wangji swallowed, reaching out to stroke his forehead.
"Wei Ying,"
he whispered.
"Please."
He still didn't know quite what tipped the boat. Whether it was the touch, the smell of food moving closer, his voice, or the one-eyed ghoul's hunger, but as his finger traced along Wei Wuxian's hairline, his partner's forehead creased, eyelids flickering. He froze as a frail hand reached up and caught his own, pulling it off his forehead to gaze at the fingers now entwined with his, silver eyes slowly blinking open, wider and wider. His gaze fell to the side, and his expression contorted.
"Lan Chan?"
Lan Wangji pulled their entwined hands to his face, pressing the one-eyed ghoul's fingers right into his cheek.
"I am here."
Wei Wuxian blinked slowly, eyes trailing around.
"Where?"
"It doesn't matter. Here, you need to eat."
He held the bowl closer, trying not to recoil at the smell as Wei Wuxian's attention shifted. He struggled to sit up, and Lan Wangji hastened to help him, pulling him to rest against the bedhead, pillows arranged for support. As he handed over the bowl, Wei Wuxian seemed slightly hesitant as he picked at the lump of human meat, eyes flickering over to Lan Wangji. He gave a simple nod, and Wei Wuxian's shoulders, ever so slightly, rose up. He immediately plunged teeth into the heart, ripping through with no effort, manically biting and chewing, movements growing stronger and more fervent the more he ate. Watching near the door, Lan Xichen's heart was pounding hard enough to cause him a worry that cardiac problems might run in the family. The ghoul, young Master Wei, the person his brother had become deeply attached to, was seemingly regaining his strength with every bite, processing the cells at a rate he didn't know possible. More worryingly, however, was his manner. This wasn't a ghoul eating quickly in order to glut himself.
This was a ghoul starving and only growing hungrier the more he realized his food supply was about to end. Seeing the amount of saliva mixed in with the congealed blood, Lan Xichun quickly ordered for another 2 hearts to be brought in, resisting the urge to drag Lan Wangji to a safe distance. His 2 kind brother was pressed right up against the ghoul's side, supporting him as he ate, seemingly completely unaware of those teeth being less than a meter from his body. Wei Wuxian wiped his mouth messily, swallowing back his saliva, and Lan Xichun felt his anxiety rise. He hadn't been just asking Lan Wangji to shower. There was a reason all members of the Lan family routinely went around smelling like sandalwood, even those not involved in active work. And the reason was simply that ghouls preferred biting things that smelled human rather than sticks of incense. Right now, any masking scent had probably been overpowered by Lan Wangji's natural smell, and he wasn't sure his brother's bravery in being that close to a likely starving ghoul was more impressive than the fact that said starving ghoul hadn't yet attacked the full meal assaulting his senses less than a meter away. The staff couldn't return quick enough, and Wei Wuxian ate a total of 4 hearts before finally slowing down, idly licking the blood from his hands, color already much better and movement stronger and more controlled. Lan Xichun still kept a finger in his coat, a pistol fully stocked with cue bullets resting against his hip. As the ghoul turned, leaning into the welcoming investigator, Lan Xichun watched, hawk-eyed, as those teeth drifted closer and closer to Lan Wangji's neck, not quite ready to shoot a high-standing member of the Jiang clan and the only real friend his brother had, yet also perfectly ready to defend said little brother if the ghoul attacked. At the last minute, Wei Wuxian's head swerved and his cheek rested against Lan Wangji's neck, hands reaching out to clutch his shirt front. In that same moment, Lan Wangji's arms wrapped around the ghoul's body, pressing him in close.
Lan Chan,
I'm here.
Hold me.
I am.
Tighter.
Lan Wangji's embrace tightened, and the ghoul purred, nuzzling up close to his neck. Lan Xichun could only gawk at the sight, suddenly feeling like he just might be intruding on something here. And then he saw a flicker of movement. He straightened up immediately at the sight of dark tendrils spreading out from Wei Wuxian's waist, getting ready to call a warning and grasping his pistol's handle tighter. About 5 Rinkaku tendrils slovenly drifted over, wrapping around Lan Wangji at the same time that Wei Wuxian wiggled his arms free to hug Lan Wangji. Lan Wangji, for his part, just felt the kagune embrace him, along with Wei Wuxian, as if his partner found only 2 arms, not enough limbs to properly cuddle him, still purring.
Adorable.
Wei Wuxian was adorable. He could almost feel the tension of the past days seeping out, and he veritably crushed the one-eyed ghoul against his chest.
I'm here,
he repeated, almost to himself.
I'm here.
Wangji.
His brother's voice was soft, cautious, staring at them, vaguely perplexed.
It's dangerous to be so attached.
It is all right,
he replied simply.
Wei Ying is my friend.
Friend? I didn't know friends cuddled together like that. Are you still in denial, little brother? It's cute, but a little ridiculous. Have I failed as a big brother in teaching you about emotional understanding?
Lan Xichun was several amazed thoughts away from fainting. Unfortunately, before he could tunnel too far down, Wei Wuxian stiffened, shifting his gaze sideways to stare Lan Xichun down. Ever so slightly, his gaze once more flickered around the room, and a certain tremor of tension filled him, the ghoul shrinking against Lan Wangji's chest. The investigator just clutched him tighter, stroking a hand through his hair.
This is Cloud Recesses.
No one knows. Lan Wangqi murmured, soft and promising. This part of Cloud Recesses is limited to the main family alone, and Uncle is away.
Really?
You are safe here.
Wei Wuxian turned his face so that it was pressed into Lan Wangji's chest, shoulders moving up and down several times. When he twisted his head to gaze at Lan Zichen with a single eye, the vice director had to hold himself firm against the Kakugan, focusing tightly on him. That is very open-minded of elder brother Lan. He dipped his head in acquiescence.
Your injuries following the raid on Chongqi Station were critical. Your family agreed that the Lan family had the best chance of saving you. Feel free to call them whenever you are feeling ready.
Wei Wuxian had straightened at his words, swiftly allowing his Kakugan to fade and properly facing the family's head with wide eyes.
That Jiang Cheng did?
Indeed.
Wei Wuxian just blinked rapidly, visibly startled. Lan Wangqi reached out and began running soothing fingers through his hair.
Can wait,
he offered, and Wei Wuxian leaned into his support, subconsciously seeking out the warmth. Lan Wangqi hastened to oblige, pulling him closer.
Thanks, Lan Chan.
Wei Wuxian sent him a warm smile. But I really should check in with them if they've been waiting. They'll be fretting, and Jiang Cheng always gets so antsy when he's fretting. Do you have a phone?
I do. Lan Zichen handed his over. It's been protected from interference and can't record calls. Please be at ease to talk freely. I will have to go soon, though.
Thanks, Wei Wuxian mumbled absently, hurriedly keying in a clearly familiar number. Despite his definitely improved demeanor, he hadn't yet left what was essentially Lan Wangji's lap. The investigator is still wrapping an arm around his waist, the absent-minded movement of his Rinkaku still actively entwined around the human. The call was answered before the first dial had ended, and Wei Wuxian's face immediately softened at whoever spoke up on the other end.
Hey, Shuqia,
he smiled before startling. Oh, no, I'm fine. I promise. Please don't cry. This one is sorry for worrying you so much. He paused and listened intently to the voice on the other end.
I see. Sorry for causing everyone so much trouble.
No. Lan Chan's right here. Yep, when I woke up. And I've eaten, too, so you don't have to worry.
Sir.
A staff member stuck her head through the door, keeping her gaze fixed on the family head. You're being requested at CCG HQ. Lan Zichen sighed and gently motioned for Wei Wuxian to hurry it up. The ghoul nodded, turning back to his call.
I'm gonna have to hand the phone back now, Shuqia. Tell everyone I said hi. Yeah, I'm being very polite. Who do you take me for? I'll call soon, okay? Tell that Jiang Cheng not to get too jealous. He'll be my next call. Bye. Love you too.
He ended the call, quietly handing it back.
Thank you, elder brother Lan.
Lan Zichen smiled and nodded.
It seems I will only be seeing you two later this evening. Please try to get some more rest, young Master Wei. And please dissolve your Rinkaku. Your RC cells should be going towards your healing, not your Kagune.
Oh, yeah, right. Whoops.
The dark tendrils collapsed, and he awkwardly pulled down the white shirt Lan Chan had gotten him into, concealing the dark red crater at the back of his waist, closing up deftly as the Rinkaku fully dissolved. Lan Zichen left to the sight of Lan Chan, helping him back down, fussing about with the blankets and making sure they were nicely tucked up around the injured man, almost smiling when Wei Wuxian murmured softly to him, as the ghoul's own smile almost took over his whole face whilst Lan Wangji adjusted the pillows.
His brother was so cute, so domestic. When did this happen?
Shaking his head, he pocketed his phone and closed the door, finally giving the two some privacy.
Lan Wangji maintained his vigil as Wei Wuxian slipped back down into a thankfully lighter sleep, fingers still entwined with his own. His phone kept buzzing with alerts about upcoming CCG meetings, so he duly muted it, remaining up past curfew to trace fingers over Wei Wuxian's hairline. Lan Xichen returned late.
Uncle?
Uncle is still at the office. His brother sat down in the chair beside him, absently tucking away a few flyaway hairs. He is compiling everything we have on the Wen clan. Daga is wrestling the localized divisions into a meeting tomorrow. He's spent today speaking with the military.
The Wen clan?
We haven't mentioned them yet. Lan Xichen licked dry lips. But we've already had calls from various political offices, demanding a full explanation lest they cut funding. We have to plan a war, and yet we're running out of time. He sighed, hand going to his chest, stress finally breaking into a fidget as he twisted the signet ring, hanging underneath his shirt. A perfect replica hung on a chain around Lan Wangji's own neck.
Meng Yao.
Lan Xichen inhaled shakily.
I got a text.
Lan Wangji glanced over at him, spying the tightness around his brother's eyes.
It was a map of the Nightless City.
It hung between them.
The Nightless City.
The heart of the Sun Corporation's industries. An office building the size of 4 blocks, 20 stories high. There was a reason it was called a city. Every inch occupied by the ghouls of the Wen clan. But if they had a map, there was one part that had never been publicly revealed.
Wen Rohan's office?
Lan Xichen nodded. He found it. Lan Wangji pulled back, turned to stare down at the sleeping Wei Wuxian. The one-eyed ghoul mumbled in his sleep, rolling over and snuggling up against Lan Wangji's hand. A small bit of drool slipped out of his mouth and onto his pillow.
Why didn't you just tell me?
The words were soft, hesitant, unbecoming of the vice director of the Commission to Counter Ghouls. Lan Wangji half-inhaled, gaze tilted. He kept it focused on Wei Wuxian, running his fingers over the one-eyed ghoul's knuckles.
Didn't know how.
I wouldn't have punished you, or chastised you, or whatever it is you were afraid of. I promise.
I know.
Lan Wangji blinked, and oh fuck, he was about to cry.
Brother has been busy, and stressed. I didn't want to be a burden.
Wangji,
I can't lose him, brother.
He bit out.
I couldn't bear losing him. If everyone knew, if Wei Ying got hurt because of me, I would.
What would he have done? What could he possibly do in a world without the one beside him? With trembling fingers, he lifted a spare hand to his neck. A single nail finding the silver chain hidden under layers of clothing, and deftly lifting out the signet ring hung around it. A single cloud was meticulously engraved on its face, identical to the sigil the Lan family alone emblazoned on their white coats. Lan Xichen's ring, intended for the next head of the family, had been hand-forged for him when he was born. Lan Wangji had inherited his from Mother. She'd been deemed unworthy of it. Tears dribbled onto the silver engraving.
I know it's wrong, he whispered. I know what the family would think. I know it stands against everything we've sworn to be, but I didn't want to disappoint you.
Arms caught his shoulders, and he turned to properly face his brother.
Wangji.
Lan Xichen was crying too, as his knuckles turned white against Lan Wangji's shoulders. He took a breath. Wangqi, love is love. Whoever you love is entirely up to you. It is not bound by rules or by what our family thinks. If this is how you feel, then you should embrace it wholeheartedly. Lan Wangqi blinked at him. Love? Did he? Surely his feelings couldn't ever be so immense as to equal love. And Achan? Lan Xichen gripped his shoulders, redrew his attention. You have never been a disappointment to me. You will never be a disappointment. I am so proud of you, and I love you so much. Lan Wangji could barely breathe through his throat as he reached out and buried his face in his brother's neck, like he was 5 years old once more, crushing himself against Lan Xichen as his brother just hugged him back, equally fierce. Love brother too. It was muffled by his brother's shirt, barely audible, even less understandable, but a hand still stroked across his head. Lan Xichen had always understood him better than anyone else. Tomorrow morning, their uncle would return, and they'd have to plan a war. Right now, though, it was just the two of them. The following morning, Wei Wuxian woke up to a sore waist, a sorer head, and still in the cloud recesses. But hey, Lan Wangji was still holding his hand, so it wasn't entirely bad. He even managed to remain impressively relaxed as Lan Qiren walked in, suit still damp from the rain and eyebrows furrowed. Underneath the blankets, Lan Wangji linked their fingers, and the one-eyed ghoul squeezed back.
Well done, Wangqi. The nest you uncovered has proved vital in the missing persons case. The whole CCG will be mobilized to finish what you started.
Lan Wangqi dipped his head in thanks, and Wei Wuxian tried not to swallow as those stern eyes turned his way. The man responsible for raising the uptight Lan Wangqi certainly looked the type, and despite the many assurances that he was marked down as human, this man was glaring at him severely enough to convince him otherwise.
Wei Wuxian, yes?
He nodded before straightening up and properly saluting as well as he could from the position in bed, ignoring the persistent aches at his kakuho. Fucking hell, Wen Qing was going to flay him for this stunt. Thank you, sir, for letting me stay and helping me.
Your thanks should go to Wangji.
The man responded curtly.
You're lucky to be alive. Are you not aware how risky it is to encounter ghouls? Had you died in the crossfire, it would have been justly deserved.
Well, isn't that the nicest thing to say to a recovering patient? He struggled to keep his face respectful. With all due respect, Lan Chan is my friend. I would have felt far more guilty by sitting aside and letting him face the danger alone.
He is trained, you are not.
I am aware. He managed to make it sound polite, somehow. But even if the situation were to occur once more, I would take the exact same actions. I do not regret standing alongside my best friend. Under the covers, Lan Chan squeezed his hand, both admonishment and thanks, and he felt his smile tweak upwards. The man before him sniffed, unimpressed by his declaration, instead turning to his nephew.
We will hold dinner in the hall as usual. I invite both of you to join us. You especially, Wangqi. You look positively thin. Concern is no reason to neglect yourself.
Yes, uncle.
Lan Wangqi bowed obediently, even as his brother looked vaguely panicked behind their uncle, turning.
Uncle, Wei Wuxian has only been awake since yesterday evening. He might prefer not to leave his bed.
The reports show he is well on the way to recovery. Lan Qiren frowned. Staying in bed will only result in physical lethargy. He should be up and walking around.
Teacher Lan makes a good point. I'd be honored to join you for dinner. Wei Wuxian bowed, and Lan Wangji caught his brother's eye, face subtly reassuring him that it'd be okay.
If Wei Wuxian was on board, then he had no issues with his brother knowing of Wei Wuxian's unique nature. Lan Xichun looked positively perplexed. Both of the men left, the two of them, and Lan Wangji turned to his partner, verbally checking in anyway.
You don't mind?
Not particularly. Wei Wuxian let his head drop back onto his pillow. I'd be more concerned about pulling a fuss and making your uncle suspicious. Path of least resistance, you know? He reached out and stroked a stray lock back into place. Wei Wuxian caught the hand as he pulled it back, playing with his finger. You know there's no point, right? My dad cursed me with eternally messy hair.
You like it?
I do. Wei Wuxian nodded, beaming. I think a lot comes from my physiology. I have all those social wants humans have, but I'm more instinctually physical, because that's just the way ghouls are. Shuchia says it's why I'm so clingy. Lan Wangji tilted his head, moving closer. Wei Wuxian laughed softly. It's a story.
We have time.
Wei Wuxian seemed to appreciate that. Expression brightening as he nuzzled in closer to Lan Wangji's side, so he could only enjoy how right it felt. Well, one time when I was about 10, my shirty and I got into this huge fight. Uncle and Madam had been arguing, and Shirchia was stressed by it all. There was a big storm outside, and it felt kind of like the whole clan was just buckling down the hatches, you get me? And we were so tense that we just lost it at each other. We normally would physically fight whenever we argued, but apparently Jiang Cheng was finding it no longer fair to fight me. So instead, we stood outside in the storm to see who could last the longest.
Unsafe. It was a storm.
Well, yeah, but we were kids, and ghoul kids kind of have that invincibility complex, except in spades. So we just stood outside in the rain and wind for about 5 hours until we were both violently ill. They bundled us with blankets, food, heaters, and waited for our systems to run it out. But I apparently got really miserable. Jiang Cheng just slept it off, but I wouldn't stop crying until Shirchia came in and let me sleep up against her. It was the clingiest thing they'd ever seen. Eventually, they just put it down to my human half needing social security. Lan Wangji ran a hand through his loose hair and finally asked what he had been wondering from the very beginning.
Was it hard? Living amongst ghouls, yet not.
Ah, that. Wei Wuxian reached out, idly playing with his long fingers. It's not as bad as you think. I have a few more quirks than most, and it's always fun to freak out other ghouls by eating regular food. I think Uncle Jiang had to get a bit aggressive about me when I was a lot younger, because I apparently smelled really good. But after I got my kagune under control, nearly everyone backed off.
Wei Ying deserves better.
This one could have gotten a lot worse. Wei Wuxian sent him a small, sad smile. When my parents died, I had no clue how to get food on my own. I wandered out of the house to look for them, was on the streets for ages before Uncle Jiang tracked me down. There's nothing like me in this world except for me. My story could have ended up a lot worse than two slightly protective siblings and a one-track path to first-level honors at UniGu.
Not guaranteed,
he warned, and Wei Wuxian laughed. Ain't that right? After this whole mess is done, we'll need to study our asses off to make up for this, won't we? Lan Chan, Lan Chan. Wei Wuxian reached out, catching Lan Wangji's cheeks in his hands, silver eyes glistening. I'm so glad you're my friend. Lan Wangji blinked at him, his gaze softer than ever.
I am also glad.
Wei Wuxian's smile tweaked up into a grin. In that case, would Lan Argongxi mind staying?
I want a bit of a nap before your nurses make me do physical exercises.
I'll stay.
Okay, then. Wei Wuxian settled down slightly, head still pillowed in his arms. Okay. As his breathing evened out, Lan Wengji settled down, content to remain there for however long Wei Wuxian wanted him to. Forever, if necessary.
Oh. Forever.
His brother's words bounced in his head.
Embrace it. Wholeheartedly.
Fuck. The physical exercises were not fun. It involved a lot of walking and bending and stretching and people poking and pulling his arms. And Lan Zhan was right in saying that he could jump multiple stories without a scratch. But give him a break. He gave up yoga in high school. Look, just because Shirjia could bend herself in half and Mian Mian could lift one leg up over her head and Ayu could definitely dislocate his shoulder at will, it didn't mean all ghouls were flexible. Hashtag not all ghouls. On the flip side, though, even the surgical scar had begun to fade, a long white line swiftly vanishing across his lower back. Which was nice. More pretty, less embarrassing for him each time he winced, and Lan Wengji was immediately there to check that his kakuo was fine. Still, though, he clenched his jaw and walked through them, and his regeneration had apparently built up enough that he'd probably be right as rain the following day. He was just changing into some new variation of white t-shirt to differ from the one he'd just sweated in when Lan Wengji returned from arranging his pickup by Jiang Cheng the following day.
Wei Ying.
Hmm?
Would you like to walk?
Oh no, please, Lan Zhan. He turned, immediately whining. I just got changed. Don't make me do more of those dumb walks.
Lan Wengji remained in the doorway.
Around the cloud recesses.
Wei Wuxian cut off his whiny tone, immediately brightening at the thought of going outside. Into the cloud recesses. He swallowed slightly. Are you sure that's okay? Won't it be bad if someone sees me?
They are all aware you are here,
Lan Wengji assured him.
They just don't know what you are. No one will bother you.
Really? Lan Wengji appeared to be faltering.
If you don't want to, then...
No, no! He skipped over to his best friend's side, taking his arm. If you want to, then I want to. It's your home, right? I showed you mine. You should show me yours. Lan Wengji nodded, took his arm properly, and escorted him out for a quick walk before dinner. The brisk evening air swirled around the strategically arranged tree line, a corridor of leaves hanging over them as they ventured off down one of the immense estate's cobbled pathways. The cloud recesses was breathtaking, eerie. It was like a painting, frozen in time, silent and still, and every inch perfect. It was a place he could definitely see Lan Wengji growing up in. He felt a sudden surge to see his own. Hey, Lan Zhan.
Hmm?
Could I give Shirjia and Jiang Cheng a call when we get back? His best friend blinked at him before nodding and pulling out his phone.
I will have an untraceable mobile phone sent to your room.
Wei Wuxian just beamed at him and clung on all the more tightly. Lan Xichen met them near the pond.
Wangji, young Master Wei.
They both bowed in greeting as he smiled.
What are you two doing?
Lan Chan was just getting me some fresh air. Wei Wuxian clenched fingers around Lan Wengji's arm, silently hoped Zhu fucking Jun didn't think they were out snooping. It's beautiful here. Lan Xichen smiled, dipping his head in acknowledgement.
Not a bad idea. A bit of fresh air will be welcome before dinner.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Lan Xichen hesitated here.
But are you quite sure about this, young Master Wei? We promised to help you. Eating human food seems counterproductive.
Wei Wuxian blinked at him, turning to the stone-faced younger brother. So Lan Wangji really hadn't shared his nature with Lan Xichen. A surge of fondness welled up within his chest as he just chuckled and quickly filled in Lan Xichen on his biological loopholes. The man took the existence of an entirely new species surprisingly well. He was just in the process of reassuring the elder that yes, human food was truly fine, no, it wouldn't bother him, and yes, he might need something more, substantial afterwards, when Lan Wangqi's phone rang. The special class investigator glared at it.
It is Nie Hui Song.
It's probably about your Qingqiu,
Lan Xichen spoke easily.
The engineering departments had everyone come through to check none are damaged. It shouldn't take you long to meet him at the public hall.
Lan Wangqi spun to look at him, and Wei Wuxian sent him a reassuring smile.
It's all right, Lan Chan. I can go back on my own.
I'll escort him,
Lan Xichen added in, when the words failed to reassure the special class investigator. Lan Wangji's phone buzzed again, and he visibly stewed. Wei Wuxian just reached out and squeezed his hand.
People are depending on you, Investigator Lan. I can manage fine in the meantime.
Lan Wangji tilted his head, lightly squeezed back, and then hurried off down the 298th identical white corridor within the cloud recesses. Wei Wuxian watched him go, sighing.
Well, I'd better go back now. All this walking is making me tired.
Lan Xichen let out a quiet huff behind him, and he mentally reminded himself that this was Lan Wangji's older brother, who Lan Wangji had to routinely cook dinner for, had stopped him from mending clothes, catching him before he added salt instead of sugar to an elder's coffee.
He was Zhou Jun,
and he'd gained infamy before Wei Wuxian had even entered high school.
This way, young Master Wei. Mother's rooms are towards the north side of the estate.
Wait, what?
Mother's? He echoed incredulously, and Lan Xichen nodded. The pair began to walk back to the room, brisk, but not enough to look suspicious. The word hung between them. Lan Xichen inhaled carefully, but releasing the breath in a cleansing manner he'd seen on Jiang Cheng slightly too many times.
Do you know about our mother?
I know she died from an illness when Lan Chen was 7, he carefully recalled. That's about it.
Our mother was a talented researcher,
Lan Xichen responded without preamble, and Wei Wuxian turned to blink at him.
And yes, in her teens, she was diagnosed with an aggressive motor degenerative disorder.
He thinned his lips, nodding. The man beside him sighed.
Mother believed, she theorized, that a cure was not anything made by humans, but was instead found within understanding ghoul regeneration. She made it her life's work to unpack how ghoul biology functioned. She was desperate, and her desperation made her unethical.
Did she experiment on humans?
He asked cautiously. But Lan Xichen shook his head.
Ghouls. The CCG shut her down because she was threatening to incite a riot from the clans.
He shuddered slightly.
And because they wanted her research.
Wei Wuxian remained silent, listening without comment as the man pulled himself together.
They wanted to shut her away, hoard her knowledge. And in the struggle, she killed a very senior investigator. She would have been locked up, but our father intervened.
They knew each other?
Maybe not. My father wasn't exactly the sharing type. uncle greatly disapproved, but father was the head of the family. The elders could only simmer as they married. The rooms you're residing in now were the compromise. She was untouchable, the new Madame Lan, but she was never allowed out of those four walls. And soon, well, I happened. He clutched his elbows. Mother's disease was worsening with each day, and the CCG refused to indulge her more vicious experiments. Her drive was apparently quite intense. Uncle only learnt how far that extended right before Wangji was born, though. Wei Wuxian frowned. Lan Xichen looked at him frankly. It would not be arrogance to say I was an abnormal infant. I grew too fast, too strong, and too clever. I was not adhering to a human standard. The vice director's tone was flat. Uncle found out, only a few weeks before Wangji's birth, that mother had a whole strain of research she kept hidden from her supervisors, and she'd been taking her new concoction by the cup every day she'd been pregnant. She'd come to grips with her own inevitable end, so she had resolved to make her children indestructible. She found a way to imbibe ghoul DNA, Wei Wuxian frowned. So, you and Lan Chan are... We are certainly something. Lan Xichen sighed. Uncle regimented our lives immediately. Some of the elders wanted us killed on the spot. He instead showed how, regardless of the effect our mother's experiments had on us, we are nothing less than perfect members of the Lan family. We were only ever allowed to visit mother once a month, and even that, I believe, was because father pulled strings. The small little condo lay before them as they emerged from the cobbled path. A thicket of gentians swayed in the light breeze. Wei Wuxian thumbed at a few of the hairs on his elbow. Why tell me this? Wangji told me about half-ghouls. Lan Xichen paused, wavering. For a moment, I thought, Wangji and I, whether mother's illness really was... You're not a half-ghoul, Vice Director. Lan Xichen blinked and turned to stare at the man beside him. You know this. Wei Wuxian nodded briskly, tapping his nose. They smell a certain way. You and Lan Chan aren't anything close. Though I have thought Lan Chan could probably dent a doorknob with his bare hands. Lan Xichen blinked, huffed a laugh, and reached out to the condo's door. The metal door handle bent easily under his grip. His fingers even left indents as he let go. Wei Wuxian stared at it, fingers steepled over his mouth. He turned to stare up at Lan Xichen's eyes. Not gonna lie, that's a little intimidating. Lan Xichen smiled down at him. I hope you keep treating Wangji well, he just replied calmly, before swinging open the door and letting Wei Wuxian run past him. As promised, the mobile phone was waiting for him on the bed, and he waited for the door to shut before he dialed Shirchia's number. She answered during the first ring. Hey, Xianxian. Hey, Shirchia, he grinned. How's the clan? We're fine, she huffed slightly. The Wen have sent messengers to both Koi Tower and Lotus Pier. What, fuck off or we'll kill you? Kind of thing? Fascinatingly enough, you were less crude. Her disdain dribbled even through the call, and he snickered. We'll have to do something, but everyone's hesitant. The Wen still haven't claimed responsibility for the ring, but unless they do so, they can't justify entering Yunmeng. Great! He clambered onto the bed, legs folded beneath him. How are the minor factions, the rogues? Most have gone undercover. A few have turned to the Wen clan in hopes for mercy, but the majority are laying low, hoping to live when the powder keg blows. None to us, huh? He groaned, and she let out the little sigh she always did when she smiled helplessly. Never mind that, though.
He could picture her pulling back her shoulders, setting the problem to one side.
How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm sure.
He felt that smile grow.
Are you enjoying Lanar Gonxi's company?
He grinned. That was easy.
Of course. Lanjan is truly a gentleman amongst gentlemen. He is, huh?
She snickered.
I hope you at least use protection.
His heart skipped a beat and red burst over his face.
Should ya?
She giggled.
Lanjan and I are just friends. Of course, of course.
She mollified, still a trace teasing.
We'll see you tomorrow, Xian Xian.
Yeah, love you.
Love you too.
The call cut off and he groaned, flopping backwards. Why did everyone think he and Lanjan were dating? Ah Yu, Ah Ching, he'd even gotten a message consisting of nothing more than two highly suggestive emoticons and a question mark from Sui Yang. Like, don't be mistaken, Wei Wuxian could see why people would want to date Lanjan, who was sweet and kind and considerate and so god-fucking-pretty, who made Wei Wuxian feel like something precious, worthy of protection, who never made him aware that he wasn't ghoul enough to be a ghoul and not human enough to be a human, and instead just treated him like Wei Ying. And Lanjan barely smiled, but when he did it in that way, and it was beautiful, and... Slowly, he rolled to his side and pulled the pillow against his chest. Oh. Shit. Wangji, outside his mother's room, heard a strangled scream from within and bolted.
Wei Ying?
Yes?
The one-eyed ghoul leapt up from where he'd been lying on the bed, pillow absently falling from his hands.
Lanjan!
He frowned, glancing him over. Wei Ying, are you all right?
Yes!
Wei Wuxian yelped back, taking a few deep breaths.
I'm fine! Perfectly fine!
Lan Wangji frowned at him, moving up close. Really? Wei Wuxian's expression softened.
Really, Lanjan, you don't have to worry about this one.
He moved to take Lanjan's hand, before freezing at the last minute, and lightly patting the top instead.
Dinner, yeah?
Lan Wangji stared down at their hands. He wanted to hold them. Was that too forward of him? He'd gotten used to it, but was it making Wei Wuxian uncomfortable? Mo Xuan Yu had assumed they were dating, after all, and it had made Wei Wuxian so embarrassed. Was the idea embarrassing to him?
Lanjan?
He glanced up, blinking to find the hesitant look on Wei Wuxian's face.
Dinner?
Yes. He stood up and forced himself not to take his partner's hand. He would respect boundaries. Let's go. Wei Wuxian's feet tapped the wood-paneled floors as he hastily pulled on the slippers used to walk around the outdoor paths of the cloud recesses. Lan Wangji escorted him across to a more central building, the huge dining hall built communally between various apartments, often used for family functions. And he wasn't planning on it, but it did bring them through the memorial hall. As the doors swung shut behind them, he barely hesitated, immediately moving onward, but the footsteps behind him didn't.
Lanjan?
He turned, questioningly, to find Wei Wuxian gazing around the room.
What is this place?
The walls soared out alongside them, each plaque meticulously kept and polished. The memorial hall. He nodded at the wall immediately to their right. For every investigator that dies in service, a plaque is presented at their service and hung here. The one-eyed ghoul blinked and gave the room a much deeper look over.
All of them?
Yeesh, who could remember them all?
I do. Lan Wangji blinked back. Every one.
Wei Wuxian shivered slightly, hurrying up to his side, and Lan Wangji tried not to be too giddy about how the one-eyed ghoul reached out to cling to his arm without any of the hesitation from before.
I see.
They continued on like so, the dining hall just beyond, when Wei Wuxian froze right near the end.
Wei Ying?
Wei Wuxian had paused, drifting closer to the wall, fingers ghosting over a plaque.
Hey, Lan Chan, do you really know every name on this wall? Then, who was this one?
He drew back his hand to lightly wrap a finger against it. Lan Wangji tilted his head, drawing up close to read it. The date was 2 years ago. The perpetrator was the child. Feng Yanqian, he recalled slowly. Special class investigator. He was tracking a lead on a ghoul, codenamed the child, when he vanished. All we found was a bloodstain, and he was presumed dead. Wei Wuxian stared up at it, biting on his lower lip.
Did he have a family?
He was divorced from his wife. His son still works for the CCG, but they'd been estranged for years at the time of his death.
So he had nothing but his career, huh?
Wei Wuxian huffed.
Figures.
Lan Wangji turned to stare at him, but Wei Wuxian just straightened up and smiled tightly at him.
Later, yeah? I really don't want to be late for dinner.
Lan Wangji blinked at him.
Later, then.
Wei Wuxian flashed him a grateful look and immediately hurried off to the dining hall. Dinner was a stiff affair. They had a guest and were beholden to act appropriately, but all three of the investigators had about four tasks awaiting each of them once it was over. Normally, at such a time, none of them would even bother with a proper dinner. Wei Wuxian, despite being warned of the no-talking-whilst-eating rule, looked supremely uncomfortable, and Lan Wangji hastened to add more food to his partner's plate to give him an excuse not to make eye contact. Fortunately, there was always a break between entree and main courses for the Lan family's traditional soup, and it offered the pathologically talkative one-eyed ghoul a moment of respite.
So, I know that Lan Chan and elder brother Lan are investigators,
he opened, swinging his legs.
But what does teacher Lan do? I saw you at the CCG that day, but you don't ever appear on TV.
Lan Chiren huffed. Archives boy, the truest enemy of a ghoul is information.
Oh?
Wei Wuxian sounded like he desperately didn't want to break face, and Lan Wangji promptly kicked his shin under the table. Of course, I was an active investigator in my youth.
Lan Chiren leant back as the soup was served, stroking his goatee.
I was working when the more infamous ghouls were around. The hangman, the violet spider, the tiger, the veiled lady.
Wei Wuxian visibly choked on his soup, and they all turned to him. You've met the veiled lady?
He asked immediately, before Lan Chiren could even open his mouth to comment on propriety.
What was she like?
Lan Chiren frowned at him. Why on earth do you want to know? Wei Wuxian flinched, curled in on himself a bit lower.
Well, my parents died in an accident. The veiled lady, she was involved.
Lan Wangji immediately frowned at him. He'd never mentioned there had been a ghoul involved in the crash. Lan Chiren had drawn back in the meantime, frowning. The veiled lady was an enigmatic ghoul. She was active about 27 to 22 years ago. She enjoyed meddling, attacked investigators and clans alike. From what we gathered, she only seemed to care about her own amusement. She'd start fights, stir old rivalries, even provoke those uninvolved, and then never finished any of them,
Creating chaos and anarchy seemed to be her only modus operandi. And then she went underground before we could properly lock onto her. I don't know why she might have been present at such an accident, but it was likely on a whim. Lan Xichen winced across the table, and Lan Wangji agreed that there could have been more tasteful ways of phrasing that. Wei Wuxian, though, surprisingly, seemed veritably chirpy.
Thanks to teacher for telling me this.
He bowed and returned to the food before him with gusto. Returning their focus to their own food prompted all three to return to silence, and the matter was left to lie under the rest of dinner. That evening, Lan Wangji trailed behind his cheerfully skipping partner, multiple thoughts churning through his brain and through his gut. He decided to address the most innocent of them first. Wei Ying.
Yeah? What's up?
Wei Wuxian turned to him at the door to Mother's rooms, and Lan Wangji pulled him slightly inside and out of earshot.
You never mentioned another ghoul was involved in the crash,
he prompted, frowning. Had it been revenge? Had the Veiled Lady been after Wei Wuxian's mother? Wei Wuxian blinked.
What are you talking about? There wasn't another ghoul involved.
Huh?
Lan Wangji stared at him, and Wei Wuxian suddenly burst into laughter.
Oh, Lan Chan, sweet Lan Chan.
He lowered his voice, giggling in the way that made his curls dance.
I was just being a bit misleading at dinner. The Veiled Lady is my mom. I just didn't think Teacher Lan needed to hear that bit.
Lan Wangji stared at him. The Veiled Lady, his uncle's personal nemesis, the ghoul Lan Wangji had been hearing complaints about since he was 5, was Wei Wuxian's mother?
Her name was Tiangsa Sanren,
Wei Wuxian expanded.
But I barely remember her, and I only really know about her from what Uncle says. I wanted to hear another's thoughts.
What does your uncle say?
Pretty much the exact same.
He laughed, fully, head flying high.
Mom was a total prankster. She loved stirring shit for the giggles of it. And, like, of all the ghouls to genuinely fall in love with a human, anyone else would have been looked down on for it, but apparently the consensus about Mum was more along the lines of, yeah, that sounds about right for her.
He laughed again.
And with Dad, no less, Uncle Jiang's best friend. He tried to stalk their dates. He was so anxious she was going to mess with Dad.
He danced around, turning his attention to the small sealed packet that had been left on one of the tables right before they'd arrived. Lan Wangji stared, somewhat fixed, as his partner ripped open the packet and scooped out the liver with his finger. Most ghouls were messy eaters, but Wei Wuxian meticulously made sure not a single drop went anywhere but his mouth. Wei Wuxian pulled a face.
Ugh! Is it not enough RC?
Lan Wangji sat down on the medical bed, and his partner huffed dramatically.
Oh no, it's fine.
Wei Wuxian rolled his tongue around, nose crunching.
But it's an internal organ, and it's been drowning in preserve. It's like pickles.
There is nothing wrong with pickles.
Wei Wuxian made a face at him.
Lan Chan, you didn't think there was anything wrong with that bitter-as-fuck soup we had tonight, so your taste buds are clearly invalid.
Lan Wangji glared at him until Wei Wuxian's indignation crumbled into mischief, and he sprawled easily over Lan Wangji's lap, grinning up at him.
Hey!
Hello.
Lan Wangji exhaled.
You are not the child.
I'm not,
Wei Wuxian agreed affably.
Yu is.
What? Mo Xuanyu.
He confirmed slowly, frowning at Wei Wuxian's nod.
How do you know this?
The child had been a barely proven existence. Investigator Fang hadn't offered much information as he went back out to hunt it down, and his death had only been vaguely attributed to it. It was doubtful Wei Wuxian had just so happened to have heard about it,
Even if it was Mo Xuanyu, he must have been listening in when the title was posted. Wei Wuxian inhaled slightly, the shaky wobble he used to steady himself. The Jiang clan has always had rules against killing doves. It brings attention, media, hyper-policing. He reached up and fiddled with one of his forelocks. So, the one time I broke it, I made sure there was nothing left. Lan Wengji processed it slowly, and then iron clenched his gut. You've killed an investigator. Wei Wuxian's jaw clenched, guilt and defiance rolled into one. I killed a sadistic bastard. He was doing his job. Like hell he was! Wei Wuxian snapped over him, and Lan Wengji paused, not pushing, but not supporting. Just waiting. Wei Wuxian huffed, pulling back some of his loosening bangs. Do you know about the mother? No. That's not a surprise. She was hardly a threat. She lived in a small ward, but she'll probably still be marked down somewhere.
Why?
She committed suicide. Lan Wengji turned, properly scowling.
Ghouls don't commit suicide. Their sense of self-preservation is their most pervasive.
I know, Lan Chan. Trust me. When I tried to explain what had happened, other ghouls just didn't process it. They were all immediately crafting reasons. Suicide is unfathomable to them. He blinked several times rapidly. Ayu certainly didn't understand. I first met him wandering his old ward, trying madly to find her. His lips curled. Or rather, I ran into him and the dove. You see, she'd killed herself by walking straight into a local CCG office and activating her kagune in plain sight. The investigator above him closed his eyes. What happened to her was a four-step emergency plan in his brain. Your dove had been hunting her, and he knew about Ayu, so he cut off her hand and dumped it under a bridge to lure him out. And he planned to kill Ayu with his own mother's kagune. Wei Wuxian took a short, sharp inhale. Have you ever heard the scream of a child about to be killed by the most personal organ of their dead mother? It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
You destroyed him.
Ayu was 15, Lan Chan. Wei Wuxian's voice spiked. He was so scared, and that dove was laughing. He said Ayu's feelings were imitation. The one-eyed ghoul blinked up at him. When did humans get to decide they had the monopoly on emotions? When did ours become fake? Lan Wengji blinked back down at him, swallowing down every theoretical article that had been rammed down his throat.
There are ghouls who kill without remorse.
There are humans who eat beef and look down on every vegan they meet. Wei Wuxian huffed a laugh. All of us have a choice, Lan Chan.
You chose not to.
I've always had more leeway. Wei Wuxian grinned. And I'm still one of the weird ones.
True.
Oof.
Lan Wengji huffed and got an arm under the body sprawled over his legs and deftly flipped Wei Wuxian properly up onto the bed. It is late. You should sleep. I will take you to Jiang Wanyin tomorrow morning.
A hand caught his wrist. Surely it was just Lan Wengji's imagination that Wei Wuxian was blushing. Can you stay? He asked tremulously. Please? One more time?
Lan Wengji blinked at him, before standing up and pulling away. A small, panicked whine escaped Wei Wuxian, and Lan Wengji immediately clutched his hand in reassurance. I will get ready for bed and return. You should, too.
Wei Wuxian stared up at him with wide eyes. He nodded silently before Lan Wengji's doubts could spill in.
The investigator sprinted as much as cloud recesses allowed, all the way to his apartment and back. When he returned, Wei Wuxian had changed into the simple pajamas,
that the Lan family had provided, blanket pulled up to his chin and restless. He jumped as Lan Wangji stepped inside.
"You're sure?"
he asked, nervous, as Lan Wangji slid in beside him. But he didn't hesitate as Lan Wangji held out his arms for the other to cuddle in close. It was absolutely selfish of him to still indulge in their proximity now that he understood the depths of his feelings. But Wei Wuxian would be gone tomorrow, and he was too greedy to fight something Wei Wuxian visibly wanted. As curfew arrived, the lights were automatically dimmed, and the room was silent save for their quiet breathing.
"Hey, Lan Chan."
He opened his eyes, meeting Wei Wuxian's as they absently linked their hands together.
"Do you remember your parents?"
He blinked. "I do not have many memories of father. He was absent. Mother, I knew she liked to smile. She was always happy to see me. She teased me a lot, according to brother."
"Really? What about?"
"Apparently I frowned too much. I was resembling uncle."
"You kind of do."
Lan Wangji frowned at him, and Wei Wuxian muffled a snigger, shifting closer so that their breaths mingled. The investigator shifted.
"You?"
"Not many,"
Wei Wuxian thought for a moment. "I have a lot of sayings from Mum, but it's more like they're just in my head, rather than I'm actually hearing her. I do remember my dad's laughter pretty clearly, though. I think Mum loved to make him laugh." He grinned. Apparently, he once told her that ostriches weren't romantic birds, so she set a whole pack loose inside the Jiang building.
Lan Wangji scrunched his nose. "Why?"
"To woo him."
"Did it work?"
"Well, they were already married then, so Madame Yu says the real sign is that he didn't divorce her on the spot."
"Your father must have indeed loved her deeply."
Wei Wuxian beamed at him. Lan Wangqi never wanted it to fade.
"Will you be okay?"
"Of course," Wei Wuxian beamed. "You guys have gone above and beyond."
Lan Wangqi's lips quirked, but he forced himself to remain on track.
"And the Wen clan, they surely know the Jiang clan were involved in Chongqi, like the CCG were."
Wei Wuxian paused, expression dulling.
"They do. Right now the clans are sitting atop a powder keg, and I don't think we're strong enough to stand against the Wen clan. What about you guys?"
"We are under political pressure." His grip tightened. "Brother hasn't specified, but it is likely those who receive their funding from the Sun Corporation."
"We need to stop them," Wei Wuxian agreed. "Before they stop us, I just don't think we can."
"Neither party has the numbers."
"Nor the strength."
And then Wei Wuxian shot up. Lan Wangji squinted at him, not the littlest bit pleased to now have their proximity rendered non-existent.
"Lan Chan?"
Wei Wuxian was staring ahead, a wide smile growing over his face.
"Is elder brother Lan awake now?"
He frowned, rolling over and checking his phone. 9:45. He was definitely meant to be. He was realistically not.
"Do you need to tell him something?"
He sat up properly, picking up his phone, and was already pulling up his chat line with his brother. Wei Wuxian nodded eagerly.
"And tell him to bring his phone while he's at it. We're going to need Jiang Cheng for this."
Lan Wangji stared at him as it slowly clicked in. His fingers scrambled out the message immediately. He hoped it would work, but by all that was out there, the odds were stacked against them. The following morning, Lan Xichen was waiting for him, and he fell obediently in step beside his brother, the pair heading to the nearest car.
"Is young Master Wei all right?" Lan Xichun asked, as they joined their uncle in the back of the vehicle, the chauffeur pulling out immediately. He nodded. His family picked him up. Lan Xichun gave a brisk nod and returned to frowning at the huge data book sent out to each captain, courtesy of the vice director. Lan Xichun just sent him a wan smile. The traffic cleared for the CCG's upper power, and Nie Mingchui was waiting for them as they stepped out. The entirety of the CCG's upper hierarchy gathered along with these special class investigators. Vice Director, First Lieutenant Feng Mengchen, spoke up. I hope this isn't a trap. It could be, Lan Xichun replied calmly, and several of their colleagues all grew agitated. But we have no choice.
It can't be helped,
Nie Mingchui snarled over the lot of them, and the whole bunch shut up.
The Wen clan isn't just some overpopulated nest. We'll need all the manpower we can bargain.
We are fortunate this talk has presented itself, Lan Xichun added smoothly. So let's do ourselves a favor and not give them any reason to cut it short.
If this blows up in our faces, the Wen clan wins,
Nie Mingchui finished bluntly, before turning and striding into the office building. The dozen white-coated individuals followed him, stern-faced and keeping quiet. A thin man met them in the lobby.
On behalf of the Jin family, we welcome you,
he spoke, nose somewhat nasally.
Before you enter, please allow us to pat you down for weapons. We apologize for the forwardness.
Go right ahead.
Nie Mingchui stepped up without hesitation, Lan Xichun at his side. Slowly, carefully, the others followed suit, as a flock of suited servants searched for any gun holsters or quinqiu hilts. None of them commented that those they would be meeting wouldn't be disarmed. Lan Wangji wasn't one to pray often, but right now he desperately hoped Jiang Wenyin would hold up his end of the plan. Once the servants were satisfied, they all vanished back into the building, and the thin steward led them up a lift to the building's 8th floor. As the lift doors opened, they stepped out onto marble floors gilt with gold. The lift on the opposite side opened in tandem. Neither party paused as they met halfway. Leading the opposing back strode a ghoul in a bespoke suit, peonies of pure gold forming his cufflinks, and his face hidden by a golden crown, the jagged spikes formed to be crossing and contorting over his face, rising up in bladed tips. The Lotus Bride was on his arm, her veil drifting around an exquisite lavender Balenciaga vintage dress, sweeping the floor around her gold-encrusted heels. On her other side strode the Sandu Shengshou, purple long coat blood-free and his three-faced mask sneering. And rounding out the leading party came the Yilin Patriarch. Alone out of the four of them, his Kakugan was visible in the cutaway part of the mask. He was staring absently ahead, beside the Sandu Shengshou, as the prince crowned in gold stepped forward. He saluted neatly, and Nie Mingchui and Lan Xichun followed suit. The steward led them through doors to a conference room, and the key figures from each party sat down on opposing ends, the rest standing loosely around them. "We hope this meeting is successful," the prince spoke, eloquence as refined as the Lan's. "It is undeniable that the Wen clan have broken all our treaties. They do not deserve anyone's blind eye."
"I know they've tangled with the Jiang clan,"
Lan Xichun frowned,
"but the Jin clan have never struck me as the type to involve themselves."
"The Wen clan would destroy us all," the prince crowned in gold responded, tone cool. "Many in my clan do believe we should lay low until this blows over. But if the Wen clan is truly amassing an army of artificial ghouls, then this isn't just going to blow over. We will stand against them."
Furthermore, we offer a chance.
The Lotus Bride spoke up sweetly.
We have good word that, the day after tomorrow, the Wen clan seek to teach the Yunmeng Jiang a lesson. In other words, their forces will be divided.
Lan Xichen frowned.
Are the Yunmeng Jiang not concerned about defending their own territory, then?
Lotus Pier has never fallen. Sandu Shengshou stuck his chin up proudly. And they'll be trying to intimidate us, not scare us. We'll be there to strike when they're unawares.
And what about you?
Investigator Yi turned to the Yilin Patriarch. You haven't said anything. The Yilin Patriarch blinked his lone, visible Kakugan.
I'm here on behalf of those Wen who are not involved in the ring.
He spoke crisply.
Wen Rohan and his sons have victimized those within their family as much as those outside of it. I'm here to ask that the treaty concerning the Wen, who have not breached it, be maintained.
He glanced first towards his own compatriots. The prince crowned in gold nodded first. Sandu Shengshou only did so once the Lotus Bride gave her own approving nod. The Yilin Patriarch then turned to the investigators. Nie Mingchui frowned. How uninvolved?
They were cast out.
The Yilin Patriarch's tone was sharp.
Hunted if they ever dared call themselves Wen in the ear of the main family. Even their own members are amongst the missing.
There was rage in there, and Lan Wangji desperately wished he could offer Wei Wuxian's lone, strong shoulders reassurance.
And what about you? Investigator Yao squinted at him. Are you not implying that you are one of those outcast Wens yourself?
I'm not. We second that,
the Lotus Bride added clearly.
He is not a Wen. He is a neutral party. If he says they're uninvolved, then they're uninvolved. Lan Ling Jin won't act against them.
Neither will the Yunmeng Jiang.
Sandu Shengshou swiftly backed up his sister. Lan Xichen exchanged a glance with his own partner. Nie Mingchui huffed but made no protest. The vice director turned.
This strike is because the treaty has been broken. We will not break it ourselves by attacking those who have not.
The Yilin Patriarch dipped his head in thanks.
Nie Mingchui huffed, already getting itchy from all the talking. Then now what? We're in this together, but what can that do? The Nightless City is a fortress, defensible and escapable.
We need to wholly crush the Wen, the prince agreed, before their politicians can move.
How?
Lan Wangji eyed them curiously.
There is only one route into the Nightless City, and it is easily sealable.
Only if you're going by land,
Sandu Shengshou drawled. The investigators straightened as he moved over the map of the complex.
The Nightless City is built right up on the riverbank, which they pump through their lower levels. Yunmeng ghouls can get in there, no sweat. We just don't have the manpower to reach the main entrance's controls.
Lan Xichen stared.
Do you really think you can carry humans through there without drowning any, nor getting spotted?
We swim fast, the S-ranked ghoul snarked back.
The Yilin Patriarch quickly tapped the map Lan Xichen,
had provided.
There are multiple places concealed enough to serve as air brakes for any humans. If a smaller elite contingency can get in, they can open the path for the majority of the forces.
Will all of you get in that way?
Lan Xichen asked carefully, and the prince immediately frowned.
No. Lan Ling Jin are not experienced enough in water to get in undetected. We were hoping we could hide in your trucks.
That won't work, Nie Mingchui responded bluntly. CCG trucks are laced with anti-ghoul agents. Contact with them is nauseating. You can ride in them, but you'll be useless when it matters.
The prince made a tight, irritated noise, and Lan Xichen closed his eyes in thought.
We have a few trucks that run without the agents. We only ever use them in bigger operations.
He glanced at Nie Mingchui.
If we have investigators moving instead through water and guard the less defended trucks with the senior investigators, we should be able to transport ghouls within them.
The ghouls all turned to the director. He scowled and nodded curtly.
Furthermore, Lan Xichen continued, managing not to glance at his younger brother as he did so, but Lan Wengji could tell that it was a near miss. The Qishan Wen appear to have developed some sort of sonar attack, specifically targeting ghouls. It nullifies Kakuo manipulation.
Yes, the Lotus Bride agreed tightly. We too are aware of this. Thus, alongside the main gates, we hope that those who sneak in will also find the control system for any such attack. Ghouls will simply wear sound-canceling headphones and hope they work in the meantime.
Then it's settled.
Nie Mingchui had always hated talks that dawdled on.
In 2 days, one group will sneak in by water, deactivate the main gate and any possible sonar attacks, while the majority wait to charge in, simultaneously offering a distraction to the Wen clan within the building.
They all nodded, got up, and shook various hands. And then Lan Wengji was leaving early, venturing down the lift and nodding to the steward as he exited ahead of the division captains, alongside the other special investigators. Alone, he slid back into the waiting car, prepared to wait for his brother and uncle. His phone pinged. Wi-Fi.
So, what are we doing tomorrow? Winking cow emoji.
He pressed his lips together and tried not to look too pleased by the time Lan Xichen returned.
Jiang Yanli loved her brothers, fiercely. If anyone had the chance to speak with the infamous Lotus Bride, her love for her two adorable baby brothers would be the one fact they could all agree upon. So it was from a place of complete affection, respect, and exasperation that she really wanted to slap Ah Cheng.
You're positive we can't chase him off?
Yes, Ah Cheng. Stop being so obvious about this and activate your Kakugan. We're using shades for a reason.
With full respect, Maiden Jiang, I'd appreciate you didn't.
And what are you doing here anyway? Jiang Wenyin turned, glaring, and Lan Xichen just smiled at him helplessly.
The group of them were currently sitting around a small, themed cafe table, trying very hard to keep an eye on the couple taking pictures under the theme park's central fountain, fluffy ears on each of their heads.
He carefully cleared his throat.
I'm keeping an eye on my little brother, like you.
Oh, Asian's actually the middle child, Jiang Yanli informed him pleasantly. Ah Cheng's the little brother.
By 5 days! It's not that much, Atia! The S-rank ghoul pouted.
They all stiffened at the sound of a familiar laugh, but Lan Wengji had simply knocked his ears askew. Wei Wuxian had paused in the midst of angling his phone and was now laughing over the crowd as he reached up to fix them. Lan Wengji's hand still absently around his waist from the intended photo pose. Lan Xichen clenched his fist under the table.
Go, Wengji! Brother's cheering you on! Unbelievable.
You all know how stupid this is, right?
The fourth member of their group drawled.
They're just on a date.
Nobody asked you to come. Jiang Wenyin rounded on him, scowling.
Jin Zixuan, in line to become the next CEO of the Jin family's enterprises and estates. The prince crowned in gold, S-ranked ghoul, Kokaku wielder, suspected member of the gourmet restaurant, Lan Xichen's work brain helpfully supplied, just gave his brother-in-law a snooty look, a look greatly emphasized by his long and slightly crooked nose.
I have a day off, and I wish to spend it with my wife. I don't need someone to ask me to do that.
Aren't you meant to be watching my nephew?
My son is currently with mother.
It's Spoil the Grandchild Day. Boys, don't fight.
Jiang Yin Li was still keeping a dutiful eye on her other brother, and both ghouls shut it. At such an easy command, Lan Xichun felt a surge of admiration, and idly wondered if he should boost her to SS rank. Jiang Wenyin, meanwhile, snorted. I'm surprised she offered. How many fingers is it now? Jin Xishuan preened.
Aliying only bit off 4 yesterday. You're all right after that?
Lan Xichun glanced at the man's hands, concerned, only to find them perfectly intact and immaculately manicured.
Isn't that a bit vicious?
They all shook their head.
Ghoul babies bite,
all 3 said in sync, with varying levels of weariness. Jiang Yin Li sighed.
Ling Er hasn't bitten me yet. I wonder why.
Because he adores you, Ali.
Jin Xishuan smiled fondly, and Jiang Wenyin nodded. As he should.
Such a good brother and husband. This big brother is impressed.
And then he straightened.
Ah, they're moving.
Jiang Wenyin let out a monumental sigh, as now both vice director and his sister followed the pair with piercing focus. Across from him, Jin Xishuan remained perfectly still, before his lips tweaked up and he let out a single, mocking snicker. Jiang Wenyin flipped him off, growling as his brother-in-law snorted and refocused on the theme park's map. Thus, he was watching as Jin Xishuan frowned ever so slightly, before going rigid.
Ali?
His voice was sharp, and they all turned to him.
They're heading for the petting zoo. It's about to run a display.
Jiang Wenyin's first instinct was a distinct, so what? The look on Jiang Yin Li's face clicked it for him.
The event?
She asked, immediately agitated. Jin Xishuan's voice was grim.
Puppies.
All 3 ghouls immediately reverted their attention to their original target, leaping to their feet in vivid shades of panic, shades thankfully hiding the Kakugan blooming amongst all of them. Lan Xichun frowned in confusion.
Pardon?
Come on, Lan Chan!
Wei Wuxian pulled Lan Wengji through the least crowded bit of the path, hand warm against his wrist.
There's a roller coaster that's meant to go upside down like 5 times. I want to ride that one. But it closes early. We can't ride it once the sun sets.
He carefully pulled Wei Wuxian's hand down to his own.
We will get there quicker by passing through the Wild West section.
True. Here, we can turn on this route.
Wei Wuxian settled down as they cut into a new section of the park, both walking side by side, arms defaulting to being linked. Lan Wengji adjusted the pair of bunny ears once again, turning to his partner.
Is it the same?
Hmm?
A roller coaster with good reflexes.
I wonder.
Wei Wuxian linked their arms now that their pace had slowed down.
You say, is it the same, but I can't really compare it. It's not like I have a before and then after. If you really want to know, I recommend asking Song Zichen. But as for me, I like them. It doesn't matter who I am.
He nodded thoughtfully.
You know they're following us.
Oh, yeah. Jiang Cheng's as subtle as a brick outside water.
Wei Wuxian sniggered.
You know, he was totally going off at me for wasting our spare day. But he certainly doesn't seem to have anything better to do.
Not a waste.
Lan Wengji added his own input grumpily. It was a small mercy that the very unsubtle party had only come near the end of the day. Wei Wuxian beamed at him.
I agree. Who could be wasting their time by spending it with Lan Argongxi? And this Xiantian is truly blessed to be offered such a privilege.
I am the blessed one,
he responded earnestly, and Wei Wuxian spluttered, spinning around to look up at him.
Lies!
No lies.
Absolute heresy!
Nothing of the sort.
He leaned in, and Wei Wuxian didn't pull back. They were close. So close. Lan Wangji's heart flipped. Was this a chance? Attention, everyone! Hey there! Welcome, kids!
The calls were coming from all over, and Wei Wuxian had easily admitted to getting sensory overloads on occasion, so neither of them could be faulted for missing the particular announcement detailing the petting zoo. But they heard the sudden cry of alarm, both turning to see a child releasing the lead they'd been given, a park attendant hastening to catch it. The puppy, an adorable, fluffy shih tzu, came gamboling right towards them. And Wei Wuxian screamed. Everyone spun to look at him in shock, Lan Wangji most of all, as Wei Wuxian pivoted and bolted, quickly catching the puppy's collar and handing it back to the stunned park attendant. He hastened after his partner. He caught Wei Wuxian trying to squeeze himself through a tiny crevice in a wall, much to the amusement of the multiple children around him, head tucked in protectively. Hurrying over, he grabbed Wei Wuxian's shoulder reassuringly.
Wei Ying?
Lan Chan?
Wei Wuxian's voice trembled, terrified and hopeful in one, as he slowly looked up, immediately brightening and throwing himself around Lan Wangji's neck.
Oh, Lan Chan, save me!
He tried to keep breathing as those arms squeezed him tight, managing to steady them enough and feeling a trace of satisfaction as Wei Wuxian stayed pressed up close.
From?
The dog! Is it gone? Is it still there? I don't want to go anywhere with dogs!
Oh. Oh.
Lan Wangji felt the faintest stirrings of amusement, even if there was nothing amusing about how visibly distressed Wei Wuxian was making himself. Leading him over to a nearby park bench, slightly out of the way, he sat him down.
The dog is gone.
Wei Wuxian glanced around, twitching, before letting out a relieved sigh and squeezing him tighter.
Thanks, Lan Chan. You saved my life!
He let out a huff.
You are the world's most dangerous predator, Wei Ying.
And dogs are vicious, rabid pack animals,
he immediately insisted. What's your point?
It was a puppy.
It'll get bigger.
Not by much.
Wei Wuxian just wailed.
Isn't that just right? We could die tomorrow, but I'll get ended by a dog of all things the day before. Oh, what cruel destiny.
You are not dying, Wei Ying.
His voice tightened without his permission.
Today nor tomorrow.
Wei Wuxian's dramatics stilled.
Can you really guarantee that?
His head was still thrown back, but his eyes had dropped to meet Lan Wangji's. He nodded.
As long as I am still breathing, you will not be harmed again.
Wei Wuxian shifted, returning to a more standard position. His gentlest smile grew.
You're incredible, you know that?
His hand hesitated, just for a moment, before he reached out to pluck a leaf off of Lan Wangji's hair.
Really, truly incredible.
Only because of you.
Lan Wangji tilted his head.
Would you do the honors?
I'd love to.
Wei Wuxian reached over, swiftly scooped up a stone, and lobbed it into the nearest bush. A voice groaned. Wei Wuxian immediately grinned.
The brother-in-law has to be worth double points, right?
Listen, Wei Wuxian, I can and will take away your allying visiting privileges. The voice immediately snarked back, sounding thoroughly disgruntled.
Come out.
Lan Wangji tipped his head back, ensuring his expression was as unreadable as possible. As Lan Xichun smiled down at him,
I'm not meddling. Unnecessary. Leave. I was going to offer you a lift.
Lan Wangji pushed him, churlish, and his brother just smiled at him like it was cute. Wei Wuxian, meanwhile, had been completely taken by Jiang Yanli,
beaming, yet also pouting dramatically as his older sister fret over him, encountering his most horrible of horrible fears. Her husband just arched his eyebrow disbelievingly over her shoulder. Lan Wangji obediently stepped off the bench to give his partner space for his sister, as Lan Xichen retreated to call their valet. "Hello, stalker," he sighed internally. "I am not." Beside him, Jiang Wenyin looked like he'd sucked on a particularly sour lemon, ghoul taste included. "I know." "I will not harm Wei Ying." "I know. He is too important to me." Jiang Wenyin squinted at him. "You're just rubbing it in now, right?" Lan Wangji blinked at him once and nodded. The ghoul cursed under his breath, and Lan Wangji exhaled, suitably invigorated enough to deal with whatever the other wanted to say. "May I help you, Jiang Wenyin?" Jiang Wenyin remained silent for the briefest of moments. "Do you know why he hadn't eaten? Why he got caught off guard like that? Did he tell you?" Lan Wangji frowned at him, his gut twisted. Jiang Wenyin just shook his head, anger leaking off of him. "Wei Wuxian is, and has always been, a ghoul. I don't give two shits about what people say he isn't. He's never so much as stepped a foot off our path. But around you, he holds back, keeps his kagune restrained." His jaw tightened. "He's been avoiding eating ever since he started hanging around you." Lan Wangji's jaw tightened too. A hand at his shoulder made him jump. Wei Wuxian beamed at his brother.
"I've touched base with Shijie. Can you go get the car? I'll say bye to Lan Chan quickly and meet you there."
Jiang Wenyin just sighed. "Sure, whatever." He sent Lan Wangji one last look before turning and marching off, meeting his sister and brother-in-law partway. His words were like stones.
"I love him, but gods above know that sometimes I want to hit him,"
Wei Wuxian snickered, turning to properly face his partner.
"So I'll see you tomorrow, then?"
Lan Wangji faced him. Face that beautiful, beaming face.
"Wei Ying."
"Yeah?"
Lan Wangji pulled him closer and stroked back one of those unruly locks. In the setting sun, Wei Wuxian's eyes sparkled silver.
"Tomorrow, don't hold back."
Wei Wuxian blinked before laughing a bit tightly.
"Lan Chan, what are you talking about? I have to hold back, otherwise..."
"You said it yourself," he interrupted firmly. "We could die tomorrow."
Wei Wuxian blinked, shoulders rising and falling.
"And what if... what if I don't want you to see me? What if you don't like what you see?"
He lifted up that chin and resolved that the next time they did something like this, he'd have the strength to lean in to close the gap.
"It will always be infinitely better than never seeing you again."
Wei Wuxian blinked rapidly, the reflex that made Lan Wangji's gut clench in case his partner started crying. But Wei Wuxian just swallowed and quirked his lips up in a grin.
"In that case, I might be a little late tomorrow. Can you wait for me?"
"However long it takes."
He spoke desperately, hopefully, longingly. Wei Wuxian tilted his head. The lock Lan Wangji had tucked back once more fell, loose and free.
"Tomorrow, then."
"Tomorrow. Tomorrow."
And around them, the sun finally dipped below the horizon.